Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Christopher Anderson. And Chris, today we revisit a topic from a couple years ago.
We are, Brandon. We are, for sure. And as a matter of fact, I've got a special guest with us today. I had a chance to sit down with Teresa Yeager. Teresa was on with us a couple years ago where she discussed some of the challenges that she's encountered having a son with severe autism, and her situation got a little more interesting this past winter. And today on Real Answers, she talks about just what that interesting situation is. So here is a bit of that conversation.
So it's good to have Teresa Yeager back with us. She was on here on Real Answers a couple of years ago to discuss having a child with autism and the challenges they face as parents. But definitely, I'm going to have Teresa go ahead and share again, just kind of refresh our memories, if you will, of exactly what your background is and what your specific situation is.
Well, I have five kids altogether, and my middle son suffers very severely with autism. He is completely nonverbal, very, very, very little functional communication at all. When we explain his level, we basically say that he's like that first infant stage in trying to communicate with anybody around him. And to view him, you probably think he's right around the 10 to 12 year old range because he is a very small child for his age. So we've been doing this for a while now.
Mm-hmm. And Teresa, I've been following along with some things you've posted on social media for the past several months. And something really caught my attention, and that was an experience that you had with an interaction with the public. And this probably wasn't the only interaction that you've had. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened a few months ago?
Sure. So my son absolutely loves to be outside. So he spends time outside every single day, no matter what the weather is. He, along with his autism, has some issues that you might be familiar with. They're called sensory processing disorder. Some people call it SPD for short. But basically doesn't experience the world the same way a typical person does through his senses. They're either heightened or they're deadened, but he doesn't feel the world the same way we do. And when we're out every single day, he really, really enjoys being at water. And we've had quite a few instances where people who I'm sure are very well-meaning think that he is in some sort of danger because he's out when it's really, really cold, or maybe he's not wearing gloves when they feel he should be wearing gloves, things like that. And they start approaching him to try to tell him where he should stand because there's ice or snow on the ground and they think he's standing in a place he shouldn't be. Or they try to give him gloves and make him wear gloves, things like that, which in my instance can become a very, very unsafe situation very quickly. Because my son, although when you look at him playing outside, he seems happy and content. But if you interrupt him in a way that triggers him, he can get very violent in a matter of seconds. And obviously that could be very dangerous for a person getting that close to him, trying to tell him what to do or force him to put on gloves, which he's very averse to.
And of course, the public might misinterpret his actions as being violent when somebody such as your son is really just responding to, again, that stimuli in their environment of a total stranger as best as they might be able to, but it's technically not being violent.
Right, right. So, I mean, on the low end of the scale, if you, you know, were to walk up to him and hand him gloves, he might take them and then throw them back at you, or he might push you because that's his way of saying, leave me alone, you're too close. Which, again, in a situation where he's outside and it's snowy and icy out, when he pushes you, it could then become a very dangerous situation because somebody could fall, somebody could, you know, slip on ice, and he likes to play near water. Mm-hmm. So now you're getting wet when it's 20 degrees outside,
sure.
Which is never a positive experience for anybody.
Definitely not. Not for this warm-blooded person. So how frequent are these types of interactions, Teresa? Have you spoken with other parents who have had similar situations where, a good Samaritan comes along, thinks they're doing a good thing, but actually they don't understand everything that's going on? How often does this happen?
Well, unfortunately, it's not something that a lot of parents are really open to talking about, because a lot of times when autistic parents take their children out into public, we're already very, very nervous that our child is going to interact with the public in an inappropriate way on our end. So we're hypersensitive and hyper aware. And so a lot of times we go out of our way to make sure they don't go to places where there's other people, just for the safety reasons. So, for instance, the issues that we were having, we were going out of our way to be in an area where there wasn't a lot of people. And so we were actually pretty shocked that this was happening. And it seemed like it was, I want to say half of the people that came walking through were trying to interact or actually calling the police because they felt that we weren't taking care of my son in the proper way.
Wow.
So unfortunately, that's something that's really spoken about a lot because of shame. I mean, we're trying to hide away for fear that, I was terrified that my son was going to grab somebody, and in a moment, he can cause injury.
Mm-hmm. So, and again, it's hide away, but yet in a way it's almost, you're not so much hiding away from the situation as much as is trying to keep your son safe, but also keep the bystander safe as well.
Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, that's my main concern is what would happen. I mean, he's 16 now, in a couple of years he'll be an adult. Like, what is the logistically, what would happen if somebody walked up to him and they became injured? Obviously my son would be liable. I would be liable for that. So it's a real fear when somebody else is coming into his space, not understanding that they really shouldn't be coming into a special needs child's space without knowing that child or getting parental permission or anything like that. I mean, it's a scary place to be.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely is. So if a situation were to occur like this, what suggestions do you have for other parents that might be out in a public area with a special needs child? What suggestions can you give about how to handle it? What should parents that have special needs children do if they want to go to the park, or if they do want to find an area that is outside? And what do you suggest that these parents do?
Well, what we've been doing that seems to work most of the time is that we are very proactive with making sure that people who appear to be wanting to approach my son, that we vocalize to them first, and the needs of your child. Mm-hmm. So for example, my son, when a woman with a dog was trying to get close to him, it was communicated to her, please don't go and approach him because he's terrified of dogs. So we interact in a way based to just kind of let the person know, please don't approach him too closely or, whatever. But really, it kind of sets us up for an instance where if somebody is going to do something in an appropriate way, like we want our kids to be greeted. Mm-hmm. We want somebody to, look at them, smile and say good morning or hi, how you doing or whatever. we don't necessarily want them to walk up and try to shake their hand, for example, or get too close if they're happily playing. But a vocal interaction is amazing and lets that child know that they're seen and they're out in the public. And yes, there's other people here, and this is how we greet people. Kind of what you would do if you were at a park, like if you were an adult at a park and you saw a two-year-old child, you wouldn't necessarily walk up and start a close interaction with somebody else's two-year-old. We have enough sense to hang back a little bit, talk to the parent, ask if it's okay to interact with that very, very young child, unless you see, you know, that that child is in some sort of imminent danger, bodily harm. Like, yes, you might grab a kid who is falling off of monkey bars or something, but you're not going to just walk up to somebody's two-year-old and start telling that two-year-old what to do. You're not going to start walking up to somebody's two-year-old and try to get them to put on clothing while they're outside. I mean, it's not appropriate in that venue. So I'm not quite sure what the thought process is for people when they see a special needs person, that they feel that it's their responsibility to walk up and interact in that way.
Do you think that people these days are a little bit more, let's say, ready to do something like that? In other words, they're more ready to go up and try to intervene because of the, what we're seeing in the media about all sorts of things, issues and safety and with children these days. Is that, do you think that we're, as a society, we're just more willing to assume the worst?
I'm not sure if it's that they're assuming the worst, but we've been going to this particular creek for years. And this is the first time in the winter that we have had this many people who have called the police, or, and this is the first year that we've ever had anybody approach him personally. Typically, we would have somebody walk up to whoever's caring for him, whether it's myself or my husband or our aide, and would voice a concern and say, you know, he looks really cold, or, you know, his feet are really wet, red. He's standing in the water, you know, barefoot because it's fall or spring. His feet look really, really cold. They would normally approach us and voice a concern. Yes, they may still call the police afterwards and the cops come out and they're very wonderful about it. We've never had any negative experience when the officers come out. They always see the issue and feel that everything is absolutely fine. So I don't even mind the police being called per se. This year was the first time we've ever had people walking up to my son and trying to tell him what to do, put on clothing, things like that. It's got to be a different in the mindset that we've got now, where everybody is just thinking that it's their responsibility to take care of everybody else rather than approaching a parent to voice a concern.
Definitely some boundary issues there in the general public these days. And I would completely agree with you that we have had some shifts in our society and how people perceive their responsibilities or the lack thereof, really. So definitely it's, you know, obviously really good. I really hope that we've got parents listening right now that have special needs children to keep in mind, because like I said, I can only imagine you're definitely not the only one in this boat where parents might be approached by well-meaning individuals that might really not truly know what's going on. So definitely approach the parent or the caregiver, not the child himself or herself. And so, Teresa, as we wrap up the segment here, any words of encouragement for parents of, again, special needs children? How should parents take care of themselves to make sure that they're really maintaining their own support and their own mental and physical health and integrity when they have the stressful needs of a child with special needs?
Well, it's funny that you bring that up. That's actually one of the passions of mine in recent years, because I experienced myself a very, very severe burnout. And burnout is awful and you never think it's going to happen to you. You always think that you're just going to be able to go on and that it's fine. I have my husband or I have my, you know, mom or whatever. And you always think that you're just going to be able to make it through day to day and that eventually it'll get better. Until one day you wake up and you realize that you've crashed and burned and you feel like you're in an awful place. So really my top thing that I would impress upon everybody who is dealing with a special needs child is to find some sort of a community of like-minded individuals that you can talk to, that you can bounce ideas off of, that you can really connect with, who really get the journey that you're on. Because of the climate of the country being what it is, with not being able to gather very readily in a support group physically, I actually started a Facebook group called Serenity and Fun in Special Homes for that specific purpose, to try to bring parents together to have a place where they can really just learn some skills to help with the very stressful day-to-day that a lot of us have to go through. And just for the camaraderie, because having another person or people to really help you through, I mean, it really, they say it takes a village, and it really does take a village of people to help you keep your mind where it needs to be, in that positive mindset of finding solutions and staying healthy mentally.
Yeah. And definitely with the added demands of, like you said, with our COVID situation in this country and just the climate that it is right now, makes it all the more important to take care of yourself. So Teresa, thank you so much for being on Real Answers today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Christopher Anderson.